You're listening to Save My City, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Tony Mangini.
I'm pleased to be joined today by Khalil Rahal. And Khalil's joining us because he was very instrumental in trying to lure Amazon to come to the Detroit area. And what we're going to be talking about today is what happened there? Where did our proposal go wrong? What did we not have? And what's the tie back to our broke municipal model? So thanks again for joining us.
No, thank you for having me, Tony. And it's an honor to be here. It's a great question. People oftentimes ask, what would you have changed about the proposal? And I always tell people, I wouldn't have changed a thing about the proposal. I would change ourselves. The amount of effort and time put into this proposal was a great amount.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, and there's a team of a lot of people, particularly at the mayor's office, who put in a lot of work, at Dan Gilbert's office, that put in a lot of work, people from the state, people from the chamber. It took a lot of people to put together what I believe is, on its face, one of the best proposals in the country. And by the way, a lot of people released their proposals after the submission. Mm-hmm. And so we got a chance to take a look at what incentives other municipalities were offering, what amenities they were offering, what real estate advantages they were offering. And I can tell you firsthand that after evaluating all those things, waiting for Amazon to come out with their answer, there are times where we felt even more confident after we saw other people's proposals. The proposal itself, I think, was great. I think where we significantly lacked is in the ability to provide the accurate things that we needed in the proposal, right?
So I want to talk about that just for a second because, and I'm not an economic development person, but is it unusual for a company to say, here's the 8-10 things we're going to be looking for? To have them come out and say, tell us how you're going to hit these targets, I thought was a pretty interesting thing, at least from where I sit. And when we didn't get chosen, I immediately defaulted to it. My strength is, it says, well, I know we didn't get it. It's because of our lack of funding and whatnot. But is that an unusual approach for a company to take?
I think the amount of specific information in this RFP was an incredibly unusual approach. And I think it is why it has made so much news. Amazon aside, one of the fastest growing companies, sure. The amount of investment in jobs they were creating, all that stuff is true. But I think people are still constantly asking themselves why their city lost Amazon, mm-hmm. when Amazon was so very, very specific and pointed to public transportation, pointed to information about the airport, pointed to things about workforce development training and education, pointed to being in an urban environment and their real estate and a whole lot of other things. So I do think it is, I'm on a panel in a month from now in Washington, D.C., where they're asking, how did Amazon change the way EDCs think, economic mm-hmm. development corporations? People are asking themselves this question all around the country. And so, yeah, I do think it was quite unusual.
Well, I hope that's a question that's getting asked all over the place, because I think if this isn't a wake-up call to think about things differently, clearly the way we've approached economic development till now wasn't adequate to get an Amazon.
Well, and I think the thing is, it's always been a guess. Mm-hmm. Even when companies may tell you why they're deciding to locate in a different place, you're always kind of wondering, are they telling you the truth, right? Mm-hmm. And different people who take the message different ways still feel like their reason is right. The interesting thing is, before they even accepted submissions in this process, they told people what they wanted. And so if you came up short, there wasn't a question about maybe why, you didn't get it. The factors were there for you to kind of look at. So I think your point is really well taken.
So if you had to pick one single factor, and I know it's not one single factor, but what was the one biggest factor that you think led to us not being in the game for Amazon?
I do think it is we lack the municipal finance structure to be able to provide all the other factors, if that makes sense. Maybe that's not a fair answer to your question.
For me, it is.
Okay.
So what I'm hearing you say is we're not making the types of investments that we need to make to attract an Amazon.
What I'm saying is, not only that, we don't have the ability to make the kind of investments we need to make to attract the Amazon. Whether it is, public transportation, whether it is the ability to properly fund education, whether it is the ability to provide all the other amenities in life that people are looking for to keep, retain, and attract talent from all the other places in the world, we have a municipal finance structure that significantly puts us at a disadvantage when we go and we fight for these projects. Now, sometimes we go in and I'm not gonna lie, we win. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in Wayne County, we have had, a booming, remarkable success, not just in our finances, but in our development game. Things could be better. There's no doubt about it. You know, Wayne County wages have gone up, 2% over the last couple of years each year. Cost of living has also gone up, sometimes eating away at that 2%. And so because of our municipal finance structure and the way it is, it makes it incredibly difficult for us to have the kind of overall effect on the economy to be able to scale those things out.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting too, and you forgot more about this deal than I know, but when I read through some of the information that Amazon was putting out, and they talk about transit, they talked about it as a logistical issue. And my first reaction was, well, logistics, that's moving your products. But no, for them, it was moving their people. How are their people going to move around within this region in an effective way? And probably even equally importantly, in a way they're accustomed to moving around. And that to me was just a glaring omission. As you point out, we don't have the ability or the structure to really deliver that even if we wanted to. And so it's kind of like you were dead before you started because you just can't hit that target.
And that happened in more than one way, actually. So, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but Amazon at their heart, they're an e-commerce, right? Delivering of products, and they pride themselves on timing and reliability. And right now, if you order something, you can get something within 24 hours on Amazon. But their future is they want to be able to deliver products within 2 to 4 hours. And as you mentioned, the logistics of their people, to that end, they pay attention to every inch because they want to maximize the talent of the people that they're trying to attract to produce so that they can reach their goal as fast as possible. That's true for public transportation, but it's also true for road funding. They want to know if people are going to be waiting in construction traffic for a long time. They wanted to know what the wait times were at the airport because they wanted to know people who are visiting their headquarters were going to get there in a fast, reliable way. They wanted to know what wait times were at the border crossing. They wanted to know if it was a situation, right, that was going to tie them up or hinder people from getting to places quicker, faster, and more reliably. When it came to their real estate, sure, they wanted 8.1 million square feet. But what was important to them is that they were able to get from one place to another within 10 to 15 minutes. They wanted to be able to bring their, for their employees to bring their dogs to work. They wanted to have available green space so that they could fight for every inch to maximize the opportunity to reach their goal.
And that's really interesting as you sit and you think about that and sort of what we've incented and what we've invested in and then the things they're looking for, how they don't match up, frankly.
Right.
Something else. Now, we're actually recording this having just walked out of a session here at the MML conference talking about this stuff. So some of the stuff is fresh in my mind. But one of the things you talked about was, which made me kind of step back and think about differently. They said, nobody in the country has 50,000 workers with the qualifications they're looking for, not working, ready to fill these spots.
Right.
And I think it really caused me to think about that differently, which really means now we're talking about a talent attraction game, not necessarily a workforce development or available workers game. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I do. It's a combination of both because you're exactly right. There is no place in America that has 50,000 people that are just sitting in the sidelines that have the ability to make an average of $100,000 a year, which is what the RFP was asking for, right? But they also had questions about what your K-12 was going to be like. They wanted to know what access to education and how your institutions around you were doing very well. We obviously promoted the heck out of the University of Michigan and Michigan State and Wayne State and some of the success of our community colleges. Obviously, the state did put in the proposal, the intent, which wasn't active at the time, but the intent of the Marshall Plan, which ended up becoming reality. Mm-hmm. But you're exactly right. Even with those efforts, right? Amazon likes to move now. They like to move fast. They like to move quick. And so they pride themselves on wherever they go, being able to be a part of what the world wants to be a part of, and they're Amazon. And to that end, they wanted to make sure that when they chose a location, that other people would also want to choose that location. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about a little while ago is, you know, there are factors in life that governments have to make business decisions on, and how important are incentives as a part of those factors? Well, the truth of the matter is, in my experience, and we've got a fair amount of experience of development in Wayne County, the amenities in life of public transportation, making sure you've got good, clean roads, access to green space and park space, and those kinds of amenities, right? Access to a good education system are far more important than any incentive we could offer.
It's interesting. You know, I talk a lot about the finance side of this stuff. I go all over the state doing that. Did a lot with your boss, as a matter of fact. When I talk about it, it's one of the things I talk about, you know, in a much smaller scale. You know, most businesses would pay a premium to be in a location that provides all the things that they want. And we've sort of been vetting that as we've gone. We've talked at the last two Detroit Chamber conferences up on the island, and we've had a chance to talk with the Small Business Association, business leaders from Michigan, and they all echo that, that, you know, they're starting to get their arms around the idea. We of course, they want an appropriate and fair tax environment, but none of that matters if we don't have the types of places. And their members are starting to say, hey, in the same way, in a different way, but the same message, we need to be able to get this talent here or we can't be here. And that's right now, we got to, I think, get that critical mass sort of coming together in an appropriate way, because everyone's starting to see it in their own way.
Right. I think no place is that more evident than when you start seeing the auto companies come out in favor of public transportation.
That's pretty amazing.
You know, I've given the presentations to Mark Royce, and he has pushed back on me dramatically. And like a lot of CEOs who have a lot of good questions, mm-hmm. right? It is not easy to be in that room. But when Mark Royce goes back to his Warren Tech Center, and he's got to fight for engineers to work at GM versus going to work somewhere else, you know, because you know, cars are different now, right? Mm-hmm. You're not, you know, you used to drive, you know, a box with wheels and steering wheel and an engine. Today, you're driving around a computer. And so the fight at GM is to keep, you know, people from going to Silicon Valley to work on whatever kind of technology. But, you know, how do you get those people to come to Warren?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, you know, in Southeast Michigan, we pay about $67 a person for public transportation. In Silicon Valley, they pay about $622 a person.
Interesting.
And so when Mark Royce, you know, he may hear from me and he may have a lot of questions and pushback, and rightfully so, he did. When he goes back to the Warren Tech Center and his own employees are asking for more public transportation, then you start to see more businesses come on board. And we've seen that with a lot of auto companies, which mm-hmm. is remarkable.
This is hardly scientific and it's a tiny, tiny little data point, but I throw it out every once in a while. I always remember my daughter who's got a car on her 16th birthday, so wasn't denied access to transportation, right? But when she was a student at Eastern Michigan University working on her nursing degree, talking to her, and she knows, of course, what I do, and she's like, Dad, I'm just so frustrated. Why can't I get on a train and go downtown and be able to do things and go back and forth? When I go to Chicago and I go and I, you know, visit family around the country, I can do all these things. And I thought, huh, if my daughter has that perspective, with, again, she can get in a car, it's sitting 10 feet outside of her door, but she's still having that perspective. What is the perspective of someone who's never had access, who has relied on that their whole life? You have 0.0% chance of getting those individuals to come to this area. And we've got to think of this stuff differently. And I think we need to think of it as a strategic business investment, not as, you know, some benevolent program that we're doing for people that can't afford cars. And I think that's what we've reduced it to here.
I think that's a very, very fair point. I've always been advocating that we as government have to do a better job of advocating why somebody who would never ride the bus want to pay for others to ride the bus. And the long and short of it, I will tell you, is for every dollar you put in the public transportation, you get $4 back into the economy. Buses or people that ride public transportation take cars off the road. That results in less accidents and less death. It results in less resources being spent on police, fire, EMS. It means there's lower congestion. It means there's lower emissions. It means there's higher productivity and less traffic. It also means that there's lower auto insurance and healthcare insurance. And yes, it happens to mean that there is more access to education, medication, and workforce development training and all the other things. But those things help supply the workforce to get the Amazons, which ultimately will result in a better life for folks who don't use public transportation. I do think it is a generational thing too, right? When I was 16, it was kind of cool to sneak and get my dad's keys and, take his car.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter and soon my kids, that you're exactly right. They are not looking to drive. Driving gets in the way of their texting. And so, they are absolutely looking for more public transportation. And if they don't find it here, the worst thing that can happen is they'll find it. If you're lucky, they'll just go to Detroit. But God forbid, they may go outside the region.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And again, I think we got to start thinking more, not globally necessarily, but certainly understanding this whole region. It doesn't even matter what region you're in. These economies are regional. It's not one city. It's not even one county. We all are sort of codependent on one another. And if we look at these as assets, just like any business would, and investing in those assets, when you talk to one of the things, again, when I talk to businesses about in the government funding model and where it breaks down, would you completely stop investing in R&D as a business? Well, of course not. Would you stop investing in training as a business? Well, of course not. Would you not want to, attract the best and brightest? Of course not. We built a model in government that all of those things happen and more. And then you wonder why we're not as successful as maybe we'd like to be in certain areas. That's what we got to start thinking differently, I think, is how do you construct this thing? Because it's all tied together. We can't have that Amazon place without the investment. You can't have the investment without, being able to attract those people. So it all gets tied together. And I remember I was talking, this is several years ago now, but I was having a conversation with the guy that runs the Small Business Association. And it started off in sort of the traditional us, them sort of thing. And I said, well, I'm curious, do our residents go there to support your businesses, or your businesses there because our residents were there? Because if our residents, and it caused him, I think, to take pause for a second and think, and it's like, you're right. I mean, one can't exist without the other.
Sure.
We need all those things. And so the model's got to be balanced, I think. So it addresses both of those types of things. And if you're an Amazon, as you point out, they didn't get to be the biggest company in the world by accident.
Right.
That wasn't an accident. If you don't think they can't look at our metrics and sort of how we built this thing and go, I'm not sure this is going to work. I appreciate all the effort you put into this. Right. I appreciate your answers were thoughtful and you really tried to hit the bullseye, but I can just see from what I see written down here that you're just not going to be able to get it done.
I think that's right on point. And I think it's, the best businesses in the world attack issues and problems, and they strategically solve problems globally. And I think that goes the same way for municipalities. We can talk, whether it was talent, education, transit, or a whole bunch of other factors. But at the heart of it, right, if you don't have a municipal system that allows you to provide the adequate resources for those things, investing in any one of those factors may not solve the overall problem. And so, strategically thinking about how these issues work together, as you just pointed out, and getting to the root, getting to the heart of the matter, and solving the heart of the problem oftentimes watches the problem solve itself.
Well, I've talked about this, and it's interesting because you certainly are talking about sort of the inside baseball when you talk about it. And I've been talking about it in this more global way, in the way kind of we're talking about it now. And in my mind, we're at a crossroads. We can either look at what happened with Amazon and say, well, what are you going to do? And go on about doing things we always have. And that means we're never going to get one.
Right.
Or it can be a wake-up call. No sense wasting a good crisis here, right? We could look at this and say, we know now that we're not built in a way that's going to enable us to attract that type of an investment, and maybe even more importantly, attract those types of business, which is that's where the economy is going, right?
Right.
I mean, that's where it's going to be, whether it's Amazon or the next Amazon or 50 little mini Amazons that we're trying to put together. They're all kind of looking for that same version of the old thing. So this is our opportunity to start thinking differently about it, whether that means, the next administration or whatever, however we want to think about it. But we really got to take a step back and start thinking about things differently, or we're going to struggle for a long time.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think the more, you and your organization can educate folks as to why this is happening, I can tell you that we will continue to keep up the fight. You know, the more we expose people to the truth, I think you're right, the more we can change hearts and minds and get to the place where we got to be.
That's awesome. And I think that's a great place to end it here. And I would encourage everyone listening. It's not just on the two of us, right? But it's right. on everyone. It's got to share their message, share it with their friends, share it with their families and folks they do business with, because it really does impact all of us. And if we don't get it right, we're going to struggle for a long time. Khalil, thank you very much. This has been a great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.